Arguments are common in relationships, especially when it comes to finances. If you're tired of bickering about money with your spouse or partner, then keep listening. In this episode, we'll discuss a few reasons why couples often fight over money, and we'll share some specific ways you can work together to reach common financial ground. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Triangle's Making Money Personal podcast, where we engage in real talk about financial matters that affect our community. Today's episode is sponsored by Triangle Credit Union, recently voted best credit union in New Hampshire.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Making Money Personal podcast. I'm Liz here with Terry and Kevin. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good. Very good.
Great. Terry, Hello. How are you doing?
Hello, Lizzie. Hello, Kevin.
Great. Well, today, okay, we want to talk a little bit about couples, finances, money, all that kind of stuff. We get a lot of feedback from people about how, you know, relationships are so tricky already, but then there's an extra element there, and that's the money element that usually makes it a little bit more intense for everyone. So we're going to just talk about some of that. And I'm going to read a stat here. This is a 2021 study, so it's kind of a little old, but I have a strong feeling not much has changed here. There was a study done by Ramsey Solutions that 41% of couples in the United States argue about money, primarily about the amount of debt that they owe. I'm going to just pose this question out there. Why do you guys think it's so hard for couples to talk about money?
Well, before we get into that, Liz, I just wanted to say I finally made a statistic. like 41%. I know who those people are.
Fit right into that 41%.
Right, exactly, yeah. Been there, done that.
Oh. Yeah, what do you think makes it so hard?
For Bill and I, we got married when we were older, right? So I feel like that your outside demographic, I don't know if that's the right word, influence, situation, all kind of come in on people and on the couple, right? So yeah. For Bill and I, we both got married when we were 30, which meant that for a good solid, like after college, we both had our own lives. So for 8 years, we were doing our own thing. Yeah. And then we had to, like all good things that that couples do, they combine and compromise. And, you know, when you have been dealing with, you know, your own rent, your grocery bill, all of your utilities and whatnot, you've made decisions that have impacted your lifestyle, and now you're having a conversation with this other person, and you know that that's going to impact you, right? So I personally feel like that might, I don't know how to what that sums up as, but I'm sure in the show notes she'll come up with something clever, Liz, but you know, I just feel like that outside influences and your own experience does impact the couple aspect of it, especially for finances.
Yeah. Everyone's bringing in separate habits, even yes. experiences, yes. trends, all that kind of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. I think you both are onto the right track. This topic could be a long, long, like many, many series of podcasts, because there really is a lot that couples bring into a relationship. Some of it could be in the environment that you were raised in. You know, I think... what makes it so hard for couples to talk about money might be because of, you know, money is tied to our well-being, and we need money to just basic things, to eat and to have a place to stay. So when those things are in danger, I think what makes it hard is it just kind of touches us at a very basic human level. Mm. You know, we don't grow, most of us don't grow our own food. Some people are really, really going after that, and I support them for that. But I think just because fundamentally money is often tied to our basic needs. And so there's a lot of fear that surrounds that stuff. And so there's a lot of, I don't want to say panic, but maybe anxiety around that.
Yeah.
And it makes it difficult to talk about because, again, you're in the environment you were raised in. Maybe you have a different plan. And Lizzie, looking at the what we're going to get to later, I think we'll answer some of why that's difficult. But so I don't want to give away the rest of the show.
You know, and then, Kevin, I want to follow up on something you said, that money provides for our basic needs, right? But it also provides for our goals. Like, you know, some, like, for a couple, buying your own, you know, your first home, right? That's a huge goal. Like, that's a huge asset and an investment. So So it goes beyond, in my opinion, it goes beyond basics. It goes to like, what are the goals? And again, I feel like that we're probably going to cover that in a little bit. But some of the things that, you know, couples need to talk about: a new home, a new car. You know, if you mm-hmm. own a home, renovations, expansion. Yeah. And then, you know, if you have kids, it's about all of the bills that come with the kids, like what kind of sports are they going to play and where are they going to go to college? And so there's a lot to discuss when it comes to money. Mm. So
that could be precisely why it's difficult mm-hmm. for couples, because if you, I mean, again, it's hard not to allude to what we're going to get to, but if you don't have that time where you're kind of trying to get on the same page, then it's easy to see why there's a lot of, why it's so difficult, because you might have your own plan in mind to how you think the money ought to be used.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Kevin, you had mentioned something, and Terry, you'd mentioned something too, and a couple words popped into my head. So Kevin, you mentioned like people are usually, there's like some anxiety behind it and stuff like that. But the word that came to me is emotional. Like for a lot of people, money is very emotional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, as a couple, I'm guessing, we're not always all feeling the same emotions. And then Terry, you mentioned like compromise. And when you're compromise implying like you've got to either set aside something that you want or some way that you're feeling to try to meet your partner in the middle, and they too have to do the same thing. So it almost takes an effort on both sides. And then something else that came to mind was behavior too. And this mm-hmm. is tied to our pasts. So when we're younger, or the environments we grew up around, or, you know, the things that we experience as we get older, all relates to our behavior. So it's like when you're in a relationship, maybe you're not happy with your partner's behavior when it comes to money. And then it's now you throw in the emotional aspect. So it's like you're upset that their behavior doesn't match your criteria, but then they're upset because they're like, what am I doing wrong? Like, this is just the way I've always done it. So it's a very emotional thing for both parties. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that's where a lot of the conflict can come from.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Great word. I think also, just as you were saying that, that's a very good thought, because I'll just speak to my personal, when I was in high school, I started working. And the reason I worked is because I wanted things that my parents couldn't provide. And so I would often work just to sort of get the things that it looked like my friends had. And so from that, I guess why would that be a difficulty is when you have two becoming one and you're trying to, in this case, if it's the shared money, I guess, or just when it comes to talking about money, is that it... Maybe it's difficult, and I'll speak for myself, I guess, is because you may have to consider giving something up, and you may have to setting yourself aside for something, you know, for this, in this case, your spouse, your partner. And maybe there's that wrestling that goes on. That's why it's hard, so difficult, because it might be that proverbial elephant that you don't want to deal with.
Right.
Yeah.
No, and I agree with that, Kevin. I feel like that one of the biggest struggles that I had, and this kind of goes off the money trail, but a little bit, because it was about money as well. It was, you know, relationships, money impacts relationships. And it was my biggest struggle getting married at 30 years old was compromise. Mm. And if I could tell my 30-year-old self now, don't look at it like you're compromising. Focus on collaborating. You know what I mean? Mm. Because two can always achieve more.
That's good.
Mm. And, you know, that would be something that I would, you know, I wish that I had focused on that rather than, oh, you know, Bill wants to do this and I want to do that. But I remember, like, I don't know, I was probably 20. I remember as early as probably like 22, I was out of college working my first job. And I had goals. You know what I mean? Like I wrote those goals down. It's something that I focused on probably weekly, easily, right? And I did achieve some goals. So you're going into marriage with your own goals as well. So
that's interesting, right? Because I didn't have that experience. I didn't come in. I wasn't much younger than you were when I got married, but I wasn't completely independent. So I wonder if the experience is different when you're two younger and you don't have that establishment like you did. Yeah. And so it's hard to argue about nothing.
Living on love, baby. Living on love.
But then you've got an expectation thing now too, though. So if you don't really have a lot of experience, say being independent with your own money, you might be bringing expectations into your relationship that are financial in nature that you then project upon that partner of yours. Like you have an idea of what your future is going to look like. You know what, you know, maybe you're thinking, oh, once I get married within 5 years, we're going to have a house, you know, and maybe your partner has a completely different thought about that. Mm. Ideally, you should be talking about all this before you get married, I would think.
Right.
It's true.
But maybe some people don't, especially if it is so emotional.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's hard to.
Yeah. Our experiences just bring a lot into, but again, I think this is a great topic. And you just bring a lot into that. And I've found that as the years have gone by, my wife and I have been married almost 23 years. That
I had to do the math. He was using his hands, folks, his fingers.
Yeah, it's too hard to get my shoes off to count. the further along we've gone, and there are, I wouldn't say there are arguments now, but there certainly are conversations that we still have around money, and they are difficult because I think that there are. The difficulty is that if there's some ownership that has to be taken or some accountability, that can make it difficult because accountability and taking ownership often means you have to look at yourself and you have to allow yourself to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And so as we've gotten older and been married now over 20 years, the arguments are not about how to spend the money so much, but there are still tense moments about the money because it is limited and wanting to do the best with what we have. So I can give some examples later. So
Right. And you said the best with what you have. So that could be very relative to what you think best is versus what she thinks best is, right?
Yeah.
You know, the other component to all of this is, you know, I had mentioned goals and stuff like that. But, you know, Bill and I, especially more so in our earlier years, but there were layoffs. There were health issues. There continue to be health issues to some degree, you know, not life threatening, but, you know, we've had Bill had a major ski accident a few years ago, and there are some subsequent issues that have followed us, you know, for the last couple of years because of that. So, you know, those are challenges that couples need to have discussions about. And, you know, I do think that when you go into marriage, it's, you know, maybe it's easier for people when they get married older. I'm not saying even in the 30s. I'm talking about, you know, when you get married at 50 or 60, you know, it's like, okay, well, we've lived through some things already. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's hard. It's hard.
Yeah.
Hard discussions, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and big time.
I think that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this is because, like, I mean, we all know that this is a tricky thing to do. I mean, I have a feeling that most people listening are probably like, yeah, no brainer. Like, it's very hard for me and my spouse to discuss money. But I guess the first thing we want to convey is that, A, you're not alone.
Yes.
Because everybody
You're not alone.
There's at least 41% of the people.
At least 41. Exactly. Right. Yeah, exactly. And I wonder too, out of the 40, like out of that whole survey, I wonder if there were people who have maybe overcome some of those arguments. Mm. Like the people who said, no, we don't really argue about money. Like, did they at one point? Like, they probably did.
Oh, my word.
So 100%. I would probably say that 100% of couples argue about money.
100% of the 59% that aren't recorded here have had an argument about money. I can guarantee it.
You know, sadly, though, if I can add, and I won't, I'll just put this out there. So for our listeners, I'm not saying that this is something I've verified through any research, but I did hear at one point that the problems with money or issues around money is one of the highest contributing factors for couples ending their relationship.
Yes. So
it's a serious topic. And again, I think because it just touches us at our basic. And so I know for us, just speaking about the beyond the difficulty is that when the money's tight, just sometimes the stress can increase, the anxiety can increase. Yeah. And then I think in a lot of relationships, it's typically one or the other that handles the finances. Mm. So that can create some of that difficulty is because if it's one person who's handling it, either, you know, someone doesn't want to be responsible for it or they are just better at it and the other person's a bit out of the loop, so to speak, then that might be why those conversations can be difficult.
Yeah. Mm. And I'm going to say here, too, that you mentioned that statistically finance is one of the reasons why relationships struggle, if not end, right? That's what do they say? Like somewhere around 50%, I think, is what the number kind of stands at. And I think that's kind of point to prove that if you're in a relationship, then you really do need to get the money thing set. Mm-hmm. You really do need to find a way to manage it together or in a way that doesn't drive you apart. Mm. And there are ways to do that. There are ways to learn how to work together as a couple. There are ways to overcome some of these challenges that many, many, many people face. So there is hope. There is hope. And if you want, if you want a strong relationship and you want a healthy relationship, then this is something that you do need to work on. One question that I was thinking about, do you think that it actually gets better or worse the longer you're together?
I think it depends on how much money you make over time. You know, I mean, for Bill and I, we've been married for 27 years. And honestly, I don't know, after 20 years, you don't have anything to argue about anymore. I mean, we don't, get me wrong, we still argue, but those arguments don't seem to last as long. And I am, my personality is like, hey, we already discussed it. We already argued about it once. I don't want to keep rehashing it. And I think he operates under those same things. But yeah. If I don't know, Liz, I don't know. I don't think that can be a blanket answer for that,
right?
Because everybody's circumstance is different, right? And I alluded to the fact that we had some issues with our health. You know, it comes down to, and I think you mentioned this too, Kevin. I might have blocked you out there for a second when you were talking. I don't know, but
wouldn't be the first time.
Wouldn't be the first time for sure. Poor Kev. But the stress, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever you're dealing with as a couple, if it's a health issue or, you know, child issue, whatever, right? Whatever's causing you stress, I feel like that unless you're rolling in it money wise, that the stress of the money is going to follow. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it will. Oh, I just heard something the other day that said money amplifies what you already are, right? So if you are a kind person, and you're shaking your head, Lizzie, like you've heard this, and if I might be messing it up entirely.
You said amplify, and that's the word that came to my mind.
Okay.
Like it will amplify the situation you're in.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It'll.
But your personality as well, right? So if you're a kind person and you get money, then you, it will make you kinder. You'll be more generous, right? If you are an angry person or, you know, have that inside of you, and you get money, then that's going to also be, you know,
yeah,
you'll be angry. It's not, you're not going to be satisfied by money, essentially, is I think how I'll have to look that up.
Well,
because I'm
a
not...
good case in point would be those people that we can look in our society and see.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive me if you're listening and you happen to be a celebrity, but I think we can look and see that celebrities' lives are not perfect just because they have a lot of money.
There you go. Right.
And so that does speak to that money, well, the adage is money can't buy happiness. And
that's,
we know,
right.
That's true. But I think you're right. That stress, I think the money just accentuates or amplifies the current stress you might have in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a money difficulty or a money challenge, it makes those other things even more challenging.
Right.
Mm.
Or has the potential to.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Even more a reason why people need to work together on emotional grounds, behavior grounds, habits. Like, this goes beyond finances. This is like lifestyle.
Right.
Really is what it is. Lifestyle, goals, personality. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Makes sense.
It does. Ha. He had to throw one.
How
in.
Many is somebody keeping a little tick of, like, you know, every pun that comes to
ring a bell or something? Yeah, anytime Kevin makes a pun,
an angel gets its wing.
I love that one. Whenever my phone goes off, it's like, an angel just got a wing.
You know what's interesting is, in prepping for this show yesterday and today, I asked some married couples about this, and I asked, you know, do you argue about money? And it was just some interesting feedback to hear from them. They're at different places. One's a bit older and has been married a bit longer. One's younger, been married a bit less. So it was just interesting to hear their perspective. And some of the things we're sharing is the feedback I got about the arguments about money. And I think we're going to get to some of this, but I think the arguments, not the difficulty of having the conversation, but a lot of the arguments tend to center around or circle around how the money's being utilized or used.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that speaks to what you were saying, Terry, because I didn't block you out, that about goals and, you know, having goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of just such an interesting dynamic, right? When you're an independent person and you come into a relationship like you did and you already had set goals, and then you're trying to, as I said, to become one, and you're trying to figure out how to do this. I mean, obviously in our industry, maybe me more so because I work in a branch, is that a lot of couples who have his, mine, and, you know, they have separate individual accounts, and then they have a joint account.
Yep.
So this person I was talking to kind of went down that path and was saying, I never understood why couples have separate accounts. And so we had a bit of dialogue around that. And I can see, you know, this isn't really what we're talking about, but I could see the value for either side of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have a separate account. My wife and I have one account. So what's hers is hers, and what's mine is hers. And we don't.
So Bill and I actually have,
love that.
We have a combined account. So what's his is mine, and what's mine is mine.
Exactly. That's what I just said.
So it's all about the philosophy, right? And the perspective.
Awesome.
And you want to share your situation and explain?
Well,
and I don't mean to throw you under the bus, but I feel like that it's good, Liz. It's good that, you know, let's be transparent here.
So in my particular case, Phil and I are still separate. We still have our separate accounts, and we manage them like
But they're happily
and
married.
Kevin
people
gave me the weirdest
married.
Look that right now. He's like,
no,
what?
I can do weirder.
I can do weirder.
I will say it works for us.
Yes.
For some people it does. But so part of that is because of what you had mentioned, Terry. When Phil and I got married, we were very independent when it came to our finances. We're both savers. You know, we both manage our money. So we just had systems that worked for us.
For sure.
And maybe it was trying to avoid arguments. I don't know. But like, we just never really took the time to combine our accounts. And we've just both worked together to make our management work for the two of us. Mm-hmm. And I will say to people who do keep their accounts separate, you need to communicate about
it. Yes.
Because Phil and I are. Like, he knows exactly what's in my accounts. I know exactly what's in his. Like, we are very transparent about all that. And that's why I think it works for us.
Right.
But for other people, you just have to be aware of that. Make sure if you're going to go that route that you at least communicate, because you want to be on the same page.
Right.
And that's the only way it's going to work.
Yep.
Yeah. This 100%. Is why this conversation is layered, right? Multi-layered. Mm-hmm. Because money is a thing, but how we use money, just how we feel about money, all of that connects to us in, you mentioned emotions.
Yep.
It connects to us with, you know, family of origin, just how we saw money being used, what we feel like we had or didn't have. So for you and Phil, having separate accounts works for you for a lot of different reasons. And as I said, I can see the value in that. Like here, I have more than one checking account because I use them for different purposes to safeguard certain things. And I can see having a separate account if you want to have your fund money so that you don't spend the mortgage money.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Your fund. Or how many times have you had a debit or something that wasn't written down that caused a late fee or a bill being late or something like that.
Yeah.
So I can see the argument, or not, it's not even an argument. I could see why couples would have, but some couples I think have separate accounts because it goes further than just that. It's, and I'm not, certainly not saying this for you and Phil. I know you both, and I think you're both
sure
wonderful.
Sure you're not.
Another weird look. Is some people, and we're going to talk about more of this, is that I think it's a safeguarding. This is mine. You know, I don't know. I think you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. And we'll touch on that. We will touch on that for sure. But at this point, we do need to take a quick break. So we'll be right back after we hear this word from our sponsor. Hit the road in a car you love. If you're in the market for a new car or even a used car, score a great auto rate from Triangle Credit Union. Our local lending is a great way to secure a solid rate with an affordable monthly payment. Whether you're looking to finance your first car or your fifth, nothing beats the feeling of a new car. Get a low monthly payment you'll love with an auto loan from Triangle Credit Union. Visit trianglecu.org for financing options and current rates. Federally insured by NCUA. Welcome back, everyone. We've been discussing a lot about... Thanks, Kevin.
Hello.
Thanks so much. It's all good. Anyway, we've been discussing a lot about how couples often fight about money. And we do want to take this next segment and really kind of just give some solutions, some things that you can do to kind of manage this conversation as a couple and really move yourself in the direction of being financially on the same ground. So we have a few things that couples can do. The first one that we want to share as a way to stay on top of it is to be calm and communicate. So we touched on this a little bit earlier, but be calm as in manage your emotions. Don't let them fly off the rail. And of course, communicate. So be clear and transparent.
Yep. I think communication is key. Communication, and that is so cliche, but it's also the truth. And the reason it's cliche is because it's the truth. Think about all the aspects of a relationship and how communication is vital in all those aspects. So certainly in money, it is vital to have strong communication, which involves in Lizzie. I'm so glad you connected it to emotions, because money is often very connected with emotions. And so that's why the communication is important. And it's important for each other to give room for the other person to communicate without there being a response, if you will, or that open communication, allowing that person, you know, what if it's an issue of just sharing your concerns about money and you just need to be heard so that you can get onto the other stuff. And that's why being calm is an important piece
like
to add to
hold
that.
Hold back judgments, hold back any, you know, negative emotion response that you might have towards what they're trying to communicate. Hold that back, like just let it go.
Can I give you just a very quick personal. So my wife runs in-home daycare. So she's self-employed, if you will. She's runs her own business technically. But her clients are just, they act like a bunch of kids. But she also asked very early in our marriage if she could handle the finances, and I was fine with that. I didn't always work at a credit union, but I didn't mind. But I have seen just the how life adds stress, because obviously, so she's running a business, and she works from home, obviously, on purpose, because that way she's home with our kids. She manages their lives pretty well. So there's been times where I've spoken to her out of, hey, what's going on with the finances, if you will. That's a very generic term. And I could see that my response or the way I approached that and communicated to her and the emotion I used just added more stress rather than getting into it with her, getting into the deep end with her, but doing it in a way that did not communicate. Why are you messing up, basically?
Yeah. Because she'll put walls up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And now you're battling each other. Now it's a war.
Yes.
Right. Which is not what you want it to turn into.
And in a marriage, you want to have an open concept. So you want no walls. You want it to be.
And I can attest to Annie's response to you, Kevin, because I handle the finances for Bill and I, and he can ask the simplest question and I will, like, all the hairs on the back of my neck, like, will go, like, I don't know, I go into animal, like, protection mode or whatever. Like, how, and like you said, Lizzie, like, how dare you, you know, like, how dare you question me, or how dare you question what I've done, whatever. So the way that you approach somebody to have that conversation is very important. Mm-hmm. And for me, this goes off track a little bit from the money, because Bill doesn't handle the checking and the online banking and whatnot, the budget, if you will. But if I have a question or I have an issue with Bill, I literally will start off with, I don't want to argue with you, but I do have something I need to talk about. And that, so I'm not coming at him, and it's kind of like setting some ground rules, if you will. Like, you know, let's not argue about this. Let's look at this collaboratively. I'm not attacking you. And I'm going to say I'm a genius, because after 27 years, I think I started this like last month. But so far, it's working.
That's good, though.
So, you know, I would just encourage, you know, people who are sharing, you know, responsibilities for money, or if you have one and you want to talk to someone, your partner about it, then just start off with, like, let's not argue. All right. This is our ground rule. Let's not argue about this, but I do think that we should probably have a conversation, or I have a question, you know?
That's good.
Yeah. you kind of set the precedent, like, I'm not going into this to be, you know, a jerk.
Accusatory or any of that. You're like, doing you're a great job, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You're just settling it there, and you're just kind of giving them a little bit of, like, I don't know what the word is. Just like a slight little nudge. You're being gentle.
Yeah.
Just be gentle.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next one that we wanted to share is make a budget and share money responsibilities. So again, making a budget is very money specific, you know, because this is all finance related. So you do have to budget as a couple. You need to know how much money you're making as a couple, and you need to know where all that money's going. So that's a very good way of starting to get on the same page, is just revealing that, those line items, revealing that the way that your money is working. And you need to share that too. It shouldn't be all on one person.
Right. And I'm going to say just a little plug for triangleuniversity.org. We have on the YouTube channel, we have Budgeting 101. And it actually, in the show notes on that particular episode or webinar, there is a budgeting sheet, and it's Excel based. So you don't even have to pull out your calculator anymore. You know, everything's in there. You put in your income and it will calculate your taxes, and then you just start writing in all of your expense items. But I will say this, that if and we also teach, Bill and I teach Financial Peace University, which is a Ramsey program at our local church. And typically the budgeting person is a nerd, right? So, and there's a nerd and then there's a free spirit. And it's not, like for me, I hate to say it, I guess I'm a self-proclaimed nerd, but there's a responsibility on the free spirit's part to say, I want to be engaged about this budget, right?
Yeah.
And that's one thing that in FPU that we talk about, is that the person who's doing the budget, you know, has a tendency to be like, you know, maybe more controlling. I don't know. I'm going to say it. Okay. I'm going to acknowledge. I'm getting a lot of affirmation on that one. Like, yes, you were right. But so as a controlling person, I'm bringing something to the table, but the free spirit, the other person who, you know, is not going to do the budget, needs to be engaged. And I will say that there have been plenty of times when I've laid out my, you know, my four spreadsheets, and creating a spreadsheet and then trying to present it can be a little bit overwhelming, but you do need to explain it, and the free spirit needs to be engaged and at least make an attempt to like look at it and say, yes, this looks good. You know,
they can't just be like, well, you take care of it all.
Yes.
Like, don't show me the ins and outs. Just, you know, they need to be aware. Take it. It's your responsibility too.
Yeah. So budgeting, I mentioned this in my first episode, is discipline, and a lot of money stuff involves discipline. So budgeting is a discipline. I've heard from countless couples over the years I've worked at the credit union about, when you do a budget, you discover where your leaks are and where you might be overspending, which contributes to some of the struggles that you might be perceiving you're having with money. But when you look at it and you're like, especially in the current economy, I would imagine this statistic is probably near 81 at this point about couples that argue about money just because of the stress everybody's feeling about the economy. So if you're, when's the last time you went out to eat? Probably pretty recently, I would imagine. So I don't do this very often, and I feel like I shouldn't have to preface this, but I went to McDonald's and I got some food. I was just very hungry. So I got four items and it was like $17. And I was like, this is McDonald's and it cost me $17. So lately, going out to eat seems like it's not even a financial advantage because it's so expensive.
Yeah.
So if you have a modest family, two, three, four, or, you know, obviously then that gets expensive. So budgeting is key, because when you, as I said, when you can discover where your money goes, then you can cleverly figure out how to reduce where the money leaks are, which will contribute to having more money in the savings or more disposable income, which goes into the money responsibility, is that touches the communication piece again. So one of the things I'll say, my wife probably won't listen to this podcast, and I don't certainly mean to throw her under the bus, is I don't hear a lot about the finances. And it's not because I don't want to be involved. I work at the credit union. I can look at my account every day if I wanted to. So it's not that I don't want to. So the nerd needs to be willing to share what's going on and not think the free spirit doesn't care. It just means that you just have to use pictures, I guess. So I'm like a nerdy free spirit because I can understand it, but I think you can understand what I'm saying, mm-hmm. why communication is important, but also the responsibility piece of it comes with the communication.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All these keywords, responsibility, discipline, communication, all this stuff, man. Okay. The next one that you can do as a couple to kind of get on the same page is to pay off debt. Now, I have a feeling this is very tricky for a lot of people because today there's a lot of debt. I think there's a lot of debt. And people are carrying balances on credit cards. They're carrying student loans. They're carrying mortgages, car payments,
streaming
services. Yeah. But right, though. And Kevin, you just mentioned about like the increase in like cost of living, the increase in prices. I mean, in many ways, if you're not budgeting, what are the odds that a lot of that's just going to get piled onto a credit card?
Yeah.
So that is another element where that stress that Terry, you were talking about, like the amplification, right? Mm-hmm. Like the stress can be amplified through debt because it's a money problem in many ways, you know, if it's not managed properly. So as a couple, it's important to work towards that.
100%. I mean, and we also have another little plug for triangleuniversity.org.
A shameless
plug. I just did a webinar last night on, I'm such a nerd, on paying off debt and, you know, the path to financial freedom. And actually, in this particular webinar, I tell our very sordid story. We had a ton of debt about now 8 years ago, to the point where, I'll try to make this as succinct as possible, where we actually made a radical decision to sell our house and move into a more manageable property. And it's been such a blessing. I won't go into any more. Now you have to listen to the webinar because I do actually talk about that. I'm quite transparent because I want people to know that if we're having this conversation, we've been through it, right? Yeah. We are not perfect people. We're not therapists, but you do need, and you mentioned this, Lizzie, you do need to know, whoever's listening, you are not alone in this battle at all. So, the debt thing, I would just encourage couples to have conversations about, make sure that you list out all of your debts, right? And be very transparent about that. Nothing hidden, no secrets, guys. Oh, we're going to go into that in a few minutes. But.
Well, we talked, was it an episode or two ago about getting out of debt? I think it was in January. We talked about boost your credit score in 2024. Mm-hmm. Yep. We talked about how to do that and about there's so much available for ways to get out of debt. I was just literally looking at something not too long ago about strategies for getting out of debt. Oh, actually, didn't you do a Money Tip Tuesday about this recently?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And reading through those things and how they say that you should do that. All of that comes back to the responsibility and the communication because nothing makes paying off debt more difficult than one side that wants to and the other that doesn't.
Yes. Right.
It's so challenging to, or if you've got one, probably more the free spirit, I would think, that wants to spend more and the nerd wants to save more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Well, that's that dynamic, right? They're opposites in many ways, and that is very tricky, especially when, like you said, if someone's not paying attention to their spending, and the nerd's seeing that, and they're like, "You're not saving like we're supposed to," you know, you need to be on the same page. I wanted to mention something too that came to my mind is like, as a couple, maybe you can talk about what being out of debt looks like for you. Mm. Like, how would that make you feel? You know, like people who pay off debt when they're finally debt free, that I can imagine that burden that's lifted 100%. Is probably like euphoric, you know, to not feel that pressure, to not have to, you know, fight about it, to kind of be independent now, financially independent. So maybe if that can help, you know, as you're working through this, maybe kind of encourage each other, like, we're doing this so we can be financially free. We're doing this so this burden will be gone. Mm-hmm. Maybe something like that.
That's good. Yeah, I heard this, there's this quote, I think you ladies know it, but the only debt that remains is to love one another. Mm-hmm. And in a relationship that's so vital that think about what debt is. To have a debt, it means you owe something, right? And debt can have, it's a responsibility, it's a burden. And it can almost have, well, credit card debt especially can be rather oppressive because of the high interest rates. And again, if you make an emotional decision to use your credit card for something, car doesn't break, medical, you know, someone loses a job, just, and you, we got to do something, we got to do this, and we got to do it. If that can easily get you into debt. Now you're just under that burden of debt.
Mm-hmm.
And you're absolutely right that there, it's freedom. It really is freedom to get yourself out of debt, because the whole reason you're struggling is sometimes because you're paying your debts, right?
Right.
And to remove that, just frees it up. So.
Yeah. Okay, the next one, Terry kind of already like spilled some of this, but the next one that we want to remind people to do is just don't keep any secrets from each other. I mean, this ties back to the communication thing, but like no secrets. You know, if you're going to be working on this together, you need to be transparent. You need to be open about it and honest with each other, because trust is such a big factor in this whole experience, right?
Very true. Very true. Yeah. It should go hand in hand, right? If you're in a relationship with somebody, particularly if you're married and you're trying to have this relationship, that secrets in any respect is not a good idea. But certainly if you're trying to get to a place of financial freedom and secrets, Lindsay, do you have an idea of what a secret would be?
Probably not.
Debt for
secrets,
sure.
Like if you're spending, on the sidelines, maybe you took out a credit card you didn't want your spouse to know about, or, you're spending things that they just aren't aware of, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. So again, going back, I listened to Dave Ramsey, almost like the Ramsey Network thing podcast almost every day. And I just heard a caller, this woman, her husband, I feel like that he was in a rehab. He had entered rehab at the beginning of the year. And so he had an addiction to alcohol. And in the process of him going into rehabilitation, he was the one who controlled the money. So, and she made really good money. She was like a nurse in, I think, right around Boston. And so she made over $100,000 a year. He made over $100,000 a year. So she was just going along because she was a free spirit. And when he ended up going into rehab, one of the, his part of his program was that she had to take over the finances when he came out. So she was forced to do this. She found out that he had over $70,000 in consumer debt. And it was mostly credit cards.
Wow.
Yikes.
So this was hidden from her, right? So the alcoholism was, she didn't get into that part of it, but there was a lot of hiding stuff going on. So, and then I do feel like that, that is part of the issue,
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, the secrets goes back to the responsibility and back to the communication. I was going to say something else, but I forgot.
So if you're trying to work it and you're trying to, as a couple, come together, don't hide any debt. Don't hide financial secrets, because it's not going to get you on the same page.
So I was thinking, if I can, what I was thinking about was also, because debt in particular can be so burdensome and it adds that stress that we've already talked about, that it's important to... It really comes back to why the communication is so important. Say that you and your partner are in a place where you're like, we got to do this. We got to get out of debt. And you're working on that. Well, you know what? You got to continue the budgeting responsibility communication beyond, even when you get to a place of freedom. But if you're on the same path and you're working together, there are going to be tense moments. You know, you don't get into debt overnight. You're not going to get out of debt overnight. And there needs to be a commitment to it. And there needs to be that advocating for one another. You know, there needs to be that emotional support for one another. And I think there also needs to be that, I always think of it in terms of if you are budgeting and you're trying to do good, that if you cut yourself off from all enjoyment, then you might end up going on a binge where you're like, I just can't do it. I just got to go buy something or I got to go spend that. I got to get that. You should have that as part of your budget, right? Because it connects to but those things need to be shared and out in the open. You know, if something's out in the open, then it can't hide.
That's
There's nowhere for it to hide.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to share the very last one. The very last tip for couples is to discuss your dreams together. Mm-hmm. Make it a collaborative effort to establish your financial future together. Discuss where you see yourself. Discuss where you want to be going. And again, going back to communication, like share what your expectations and your dreams are with each other. Because, I mean, who knows? They may learn something about you they didn't know before, and it might reawaken, you know, an interest that they have. They might be like, oh, well, okay, I'm actually interested in that now, you know?
Right. That's no, good. 100%. Bill didn't realize that we were going to move to North Carolina when we retired until about 2 years ago. Sprang that on him. So I was like, Bill, you know what? I don't want to stay in New England when we, when we retire. I'm getting, it's cold here. So, but now it's conversations about, where do we want to live when we move to North Carolina? What do we want to do when we're there? Do we want to live by a lake so you can go fishing? Do you want to do woodworking? You know, so.
It also gives, like in your particular case too, I think that's helpful for the two of you because it gives him something to think about as well. Like he may not have even thought about that. Even moving out of state. So now when you've kind of voluntold him that's what's going on, he's like, I should probably start considering what that would look like for me.
Right.
And you can prepare for it now.
Right.
He won't be blindsided.
Right.
When you retire and you're like, okay, Bill, he's like, why are all these boxes packed?
That's right. Yeah.
Now it's not a secret.
No secret. Yeah.
Well, I dreamed a dream of days gone by and I thought that.
Why didn't you sing that, Kevin?
Because we're recording. I'd have to prepare for that. The cool thing about the discussing dreams is look at the stuff that we've said about providing hope for people. If you're in a place where the communication's not good and the budgeting's not there, there's no togetherness or no collaboration, and you come to this place where you break through in that and you have a dream together, now it just builds on the communication and the budget. You're working for something, and each time, say, you put money away or you paid towards a debt, it should be something that you celebrate.
Right.
And you're replacing the negative with something that's positive in order to reinforce where you're going. And, you know, the truth of it is there's a lot of strength in if you're doing this together. You know, maybe it doesn't, this is going to sound crazy, and this isn't, this is a financial podcast, not like a relationship podcast, but you know, even in your failure, you could be together in your failure. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean like getting into debt together. I just mean that, you know, the dreams we have, sometimes they don't work out exactly the way that we think.
Right.
But if you're together, the strength of your relationship is where the vitality is at. And you can achieve things if you're together. It's a lot easier to accomplish goals and see these things come to fruition when you're together. So, yeah. By the way, my wife didn't realize that if I become a branch manager, then I'm buying an Aston Martin. So I just told her the other day.
She'll be blindsided with that one. Awesome. Well, again, thank you guys for sharing your thoughts on this. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We hope you kind of got some insight from here, some new ideas, just some encouragement if that's what you need. I do want to remind everyone that, as Terry mentioned, we do host webinars throughout the year, many about debt, many about budgeting. Terry's typically the lead on the webinars, so you'll hear her beautiful voice.
Shameless plugs.
The lead nerd.
If you want to...
It's so true. It's so true.
So definitely check those out if you get the chance. We will also share the links to them on YouTube as well if you don't want to... if they're not available for sign up, at certain times, you can definitely view them on your own time.
Thank you to all our listeners. Appreciate that you listened and checked us out.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, everyone, thank you for joining us. Have a great day.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That wraps up this episode of the Making Money Personal Podcast. If you've enjoyed today's show, we would love to hear from you. Email your thoughts about this show or any other ideas at tcupodcast@trianglecu.org. Thank you to all of our subscribers. And if you haven't yet, please hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss out on any new episodes or money tips. Thank you for listening and have a great day.